Bible is true. And one of the ways that we know that the Bible is true is because of the prophecies that are contained therein. And you know, when you go back and you look at all the Old Testament prophecies about Jesus, and every single one of them were fulfilled without exception. There's over, I think, about 130 prophecies of Jesus in the Old Testament, and every single one of them were fulfilled. And the chances of every one of them being fulfilled in one person is astronomical. 130 of them. I heard a fella from America one time, and he was talking about the prophecies and them being fulfilled. And he says, if you take eight prophecies concerning Jesus, and the chances of them being fulfilled in one man, he said, is like taking the state of Texas, which is the largest state apart from Alaska. If you take the state of Texas and cover it with silver dollars, right? Cover the whole state of Texas with silver dollars a foot deep. And then if you take one and put a dot in it and throw it out into the middle, and a blind man picking it up and going, that's the one with the dot on it. That's the possibility of eight of them coming to pass in one person. And yet there was something like 130 of them that came to pass in Jesus. And so just astronomical. But you know, the Bible has a lot of things to say about the end times as well, and prophecies that have not yet been fulfilled. I just want to read to you firstly from Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24 and beginning in verse 3. And it says, as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? And Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and shall deceive many. And you shall hear of wars, rumors of war. See that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass. But the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. And there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in diverse places. And all these are the beginning of sorrows. And Jesus here, when his disciples asked them to give them some signs, how will we know when the end is? How will we know when Jesus is coming back again? And you know, we as believers, that is the hope of the gospel, that Jesus Christ is coming back again. Jesus told us in John chapter 14 and verse 1, he says, do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house, there are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. But he says, I go there and prepare a place for you, that where you may be, that where I may be, there you may be also. And Jesus Christ is coming again to receive us to himself. And so the disciples here asked them, and it says, how will we know when you're coming? And he said, there are certain signs that you will see. And he mentioned some signs here. And the signs were, first one he says here is, for many will come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and will deceive many. And you know, one of the things that has happened is, people think that that means that there are a lot of people who are going to rise up and say, it's me, I'm Jesus. Now, there will be one called the Antichrist, but I don't believe that's what this verse is talking about. I believe what this verse is talking about is there are many false religions that will rise up and say that Jesus is the Christ, but they're deceiving people. I believe that's what it's talking about. There are people who will say that Jesus is the Christ, but they're deceptive religions, and we see many of them in the world at the moment. It says, then you will hear of wars and rumors of wars, but see that you are not troubled. And you know, we've never seen as many wars as we've seen going on at the moment, have we? And the latest war that's going on is the war in Syria. And it's meant to be a war where the Russians have gone in to try and attack and root out ISIS. But there's a war going on in Syria at the moment. And as we look at that war in Syria, we can see a lot of things about it in Bible prophecy. And I want you to go back with me for a moment to Isaiah chapter 17. Isaiah chapter 17. I just want to talk about some of the things that we see sort of in the news at the moment, things that we can identify. But I'm going to begin here in Isaiah chapter 17 and verse 1. It says, this is the burden of Damascus. Behold, Damascus is taken away from being a city, and it shall be a ruinous heap. The cities of Aroer are forsaken. They shall be for flocks which shall lie down, and none shall make them afraid. The fortress also shall cease from Ephraim, the kingdom from Damascus, and the remnant of Syria. They shall be as the glory of the children of Israel, saith the Lord of hosts. And you know, this whole prophecy here in Isaiah, you can read in Isaiah 17, you can read it sometime. And also in Ezekiel 38 and 39, it talks about the wars at the end. But it mentions here Syria and Damascus. And the verse here says that Damascus is taken away from being a city and shall be a ruinous heap. And you know, the interesting thing about that is Damascus is the oldest inhabited city in the world. It is the oldest inhabited city in the world. Right back from ancient times, Damascus has been inhabited. Damascus has never been uninhabited, and Damascus has never been a ruinous heap. Do you know what that tells us? That tells us there's a day coming when Damascus will be destroyed, and Damascus will be a ruinous heap. And Damascus is in Syria. And we see these things going on at the moment in Syria, where they're bombing and so on and so on. And so Russia at the moment is bombing Syria and all the ISIS strongholds. Iran, Russia, Hezbollah and Lebanon and even Iraq have united together with Syria's Bashar al-Assad to defeat ISIS. And you know, something that we need to understand is that Russia has had a treaty with Iran since 1991. Since 1991, Russia and Iran have had a treaty together. And their treaty was where they were gathering together against the West. And so we see that beginning to take place at the moment. Russia has this treaty with Iran. But one of the things that's happening is Russia is supplying Iran with nuclear weapons. And Russia developed a nuclear weapon in 1995 that is the best nuclear weapon in the world. There's not another country that has one like it. They actually reckon that the American nuclear missiles, when they fire them, you can see them 6 hours away. And because you can see them 6 hours away, you're able to go up and knock them out of the sky before they do any damage. But they reckon the one that Russia has, you can only see it something like 28 minutes away. And because you can only see it 28 minutes away, even if you blow it up, you get the fallout from it. And so it's no good. But in 2003, Iran test-fired its own nuclear rocket, and America went and picked it up in the Persian Gulf, and it had Russian markings on it. So they have sold their technology to Iran, and Iran has it at the moment. And so they have a treaty together since 1991, and Russia has supplied Iran with nuclear capability. You know, one of the big things that's happened as well at the moment, in the last few days, China has entered the Persian Gulf. And China has entered into a treaty with Russia that they're going to back Russia against the West. And China and Russia have their aircraft carriers in the Persian Gulf at the moment. And 2 days ago, America pulled out. Their aircraft carriers left the Persian Gulf heading for home. And it's the first time since 2007 that there wasn't an American presence in the Persian Gulf. And we see all these things beginning to take shape and come to pass. This morning, the latest news this morning, and this is one of the interesting things, because we could be, I'm not saying we are, we could be on the brink of a world war. Because one of the Russian jets was flying over Turkey this morning and Turkey shot it down. So Turkey has been drawn into the conflict. And we see all these things that are going on at the moment. You know, since 1991, since the Iron Curtain fell, and we haven't seen much of the superpowers. All the superpowers seem to have disappeared. And Russia, as a superpower, seems to have disappeared. But you know, in the last few months, we've actually seen all these things coming again. We've seen America rising up. We've seen Russia rising up as a superpower. This is the first time that Russia has actually begun to show its military might since the Iron Curtain fell. Now we see China coming along backing it. Iran is coming along backing them. And you know, the Bible talks about in the end times, one of the things that's going to happen is that all these nations are going to attack Israel. They're all going to attack Israel. And these nations are going to join together in the war of Gog and Magog, where they will attack Israel. But you know, when you look at Israel, there's no reason why anyone would attack Israel except for the fact that they don't like them. But the Bible talks about that there's a hook in the jaw. There's something that causes them to go and attack Israel. What is it? And you know, one of the things that happened in the last few weeks is that they've discovered oil in Israel. They've discovered oil. And the oil field that they've discovered is actually one of the richest oil fields in the world. They actually reckon that when they find oil, that the strata that they find it in is usually between 20 and 30 meters thick. And the one that they've found in Israel at the minute is 230 meters thick. I mean, it's massive. The problem with that is where they found it is right on the border with Syria in a place called the Golan Heights. But the Golan Heights was actually captured in the 1967 war from Syria. It belongs to Syria, and Israel captured it. And Israel occupy it at the moment, but Syria claims that it's still theirs. The United Nations claims that it still belongs to Syria, but Israel has been occupying it since 1967. And so one of the things that all these superpowers want the most is oil. And so there's a strong possibility at the moment that this is what we're seeing being played out before our very eyes. Because this is what the scripture says. This is what the scripture prophesied and has talked about. And you know, nothing may come of it. It may all blow over. I don't know that it will, but it may all blow over. But there's a day coming when we're going to see this played out again. Because the Bible says that Damascus will be destroyed. Damascus will become a ruinous heap. And the cities of Aurora will be given over to the livestock. And the only way that could happen is that everything is wiped out. You know, one of the Israeli generals actually said, the only way that we can be free from Syria is to drop a nuclear bomb on Damascus. But you know, that's prophesied as well. In Zechariah chapter 14 and verse 12, listen to this. It says, this shall be the plague wherewith the Lord shall smite all the nations who besiege Jerusalem. His flesh will waste away while he stands on his feet. His eyes will waste away in their sockets, and his tongue shall waste away in his mouth. You know, there's nothing that can do that except a nuclear bomb. And that was prophesied 2,500 years ago in the book of Zechariah. And so we need to realize the times that we're living in. You know, the Bible says that the time is short. The Bible says that one of these days, Jesus Christ is going to come back. And he's coming back for us. Look with me finally in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. I'm going to read here from verse 13, and I'm going to read down into chapter 5. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them which also sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not precede them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. And this here is talking about the rapture of the church. And the Apostle Paul here is telling us that we don't have to be worried, we don't have to be concerned, because this same Jesus is coming again one day, and he's going to come in the clouds, and he's going to call us home to be with him forever. Amen. Hallelujah. You need to rejoice over that. And then it says here in verse 18, it says, wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Many of you are comforted by the fact that Jesus Christ is coming again. Many of you are comforted by the fact that there's a day coming when all this evil is going to be unleashed on the earth. But before it does, Jesus is going to come and bring his saints home. Amen. Amen. You know, there's only one thing at the moment that's left really to be fulfilled in Scripture, and that is the period called the tribulation. But before the tribulation can happen, the believers have to leave. And so there's nothing in the moment that needs to happen before we leave. Jesus is coming soon. The Bible says, lift up your eyes, for your redemption draweth nigh. It's closer than we've ever been. We can see these things that are being prophesied about coming to pass at the moment, being fulfilled. And just watch what goes on in Syria. But I want to read on here in chapter 5, because this is all the same thought. We just put in the chapters. Man put in the chapters and the verses, but in the original there was no chapters and verses. So he says in verse 18, wherefore comfort one another with these words. But of the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you. And you know, when we have times and seasons, we can look around and we can see them. How many of you can see the times and seasons that we're living in? Two of you. It's great. For you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. And you know, when people think that they're living in peace and safety, it says that's when destruction comes. And you know, there's so many people today. And, you know, particularly over here, you know, people are just carrying on their life to think everything is great. We've got peace and safety. But you know what? Destruction is coming. The Bible says so. And it says it comes like a thief in the night. Verse 4, but ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that the day should overtake you as a thief. In other words, we're supposed to be watchful. We're supposed to see the signs and know that it's close. Ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of the darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober or be vigilant. You know, we're supposed to be watching for our Lord's coming. And you know, there's never been a day where we could say with more certainty that Jesus Christ could come today. There's never been a day where we could say that with such certainty he could come today. It could be tomorrow. We just don't know. But one thing we know for sure is when we see the signs, we know that Jesus Christ is coming, because the Bible is being fulfilled before our eyes. Amen. Verse 6, therefore let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night. But they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet the hope of salvation. Now watch verse 9. For God has not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, destruction is coming on the earth, he's telling us. He says, but we haven't been appointed to it, because Jesus Christ has redeemed us, and we are waiting for our redemption from heaven. We are waiting for that trumpet call of God. We are waiting for that shout when we will be raptured out of here, when we'll go to heaven to be with the Lord forever. Amen. Verse 9 again, for God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, that we should live together with him. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as ye do also. You know, he says here in verse 11 that we're supposed to comfort ourselves with these words. And verse 18 of chapter 4, it says that we are to comfort each other with these words. Comfort each other with what words? Well, comfort each other with the words that even though that sudden destruction is going to come upon the world, it's not going to affect us, because we haven't been appointed to wrath. We have been appointed to salvation through Jesus Christ. One of these days, the fabric of the heavens is going to open, and Jesus Christ is going to descend with a shout, with the trumpet call of God. And the Bible says, we who are alive and remain will be caught up together with those who have gone before us to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. And so we see what's going on in the world at the moment, but there's no need for us to be concerned. Yes, we can be concerned for the people, and we can be concerned for what's going on in the world, but we don't have to be concerned about ourselves. Because when we know Jesus Christ personally as our Lord and Savior, we have not been appointed to wrath, but to obtain salvation through him. And when that destruction comes, Jesus Christ will come himself, and he will redeem us to himself. We'll be raptured. Amen. We'll be taken from here, and we'll be taken to heaven with Jesus. And what happens after that is we enter into, firstly, the judgment seat of Christ. which is actually called the reward seat. Judgment is not a good word for it. It's the reward seat of Christ. And we'll, first part of that 7 years in heaven, we will go to the reward seat of Christ, where we're rewarded for what we've done in the flesh. After that, we enter into a time called the marriage supper of the Lamb. And at the end of that 7 year period, we will come back with Jesus Christ for the battle of Armageddon. Amen. So we'll be in heaven when all these things are going on. Glory to God. Amen. Hallelujah. God is good. Just going to hand over to